The words together, they're up on the screen for all of us. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. It is the indestructible, incorruptible, everlasting, living word of God. I receive it now by faith, and I believe that my life will forever be changed. Let's pray. Father, we thank you today once again that your word has the power to change our life. Lord, you know in each of our lives the change that is needed. You know the place that you want to take us to. You know the freedom that you want us to experience. And so I just ask you today that your spirit be upon me to deliver the message in such a way that brings about that change and greater freedom for each of us. And we thank you for that in advance, for doing just that. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, Lord willing, today we're going to be wrapping up our series entitled Live Free. I want to once again, though, just show you and read for you our mission statement here as a church. The mission of Faith Life Church is simply this. We exist to build people's faith so they know Jesus, live free, discover their purpose, and then make a difference. And so in this series, we've endeavored to do just that, to build your faith so you can live free. Now today we're going to finish out this series with a message entitled Love Rules. But once again, just before we get into today's message, I want to go back and just go through some of the truths that we've learned in this series. And so go with me, if you will, to our text that's found in the book of Ephesians. The scriptures will also be up on the screen. But Ephesians 1, 6, and 7 says this. So we praise God for the glorious grace he has poured out on us who belong to his dear son. He is so rich in kindness and grace that he purchased our freedom with the blood of his son and forgave our sins. Now, here's what we said that it's important to do if we're going to live free. If we're going to live free, we've got to put our faith in this truth, the truth that our freedom has been purchased. You know, every now and again in your faith journey, you need to, as it were, circle back around to that truth. Remind yourself that you don't have to earn your freedom. You don't have to struggle for your freedom. Your freedom has been purchased. And then when we circle back around to that truth, we need to celebrate this fact that God loved us so much that he was willing to sacrifice his son so that you and I could be free. Wow. That will build our faith. That will build our faith in God. When we see what he was willing to do for us, what he was willing to do to purchase our freedom, that builds my faith, or we could use another word, it builds my trust. I can trust God. He's proved he is trustworthy. But then we've learned that if we're going to live free, we've also got to overcome the lies of the enemy. The Bible teaches us that Satan is a liar. In fact, it says he's the father of all lies. He doesn't just lie. He invented lying. He deceives us. And when we believe Satan's lies, those lies imprison us and we lose the freedom that God purchased for us. We're not free to enjoy life. We may have a wonderful family. We may have a good career. There may be things in our life that are really going well. We may have good health, but we're not enjoying it. We're not free to embrace the good. We don't have peace inside. We don't have joy. Why? Because we're living a lie. And what do you need to do? You need to learn God's truth. The way to overcome Satan's lies is to speak God's truth, to put your faith in the truth of God's word. Now, the last 2 weekends, we actually had what we called Live Free Weekends, one for the ladies, one for the guys. And in those weekends, we really dealt with Satan's lies. And then we gave you the truth to overcome those lies. There are 4 common lies that Satan uses on every one of us. No one's exempt. And you need to learn, if you're going to live free, you need to learn how to overcome those lies, how to recognize when your behavior is an outflow of that lie. You ever reacted to something and your reaction didn't equal what just happened? You overreacted, and sometimes I'm just radioactive. I mean, like, I way overreacted to that situation. What's driving that behavior? And you need to know the enemy's lies, and you also need to know God's truth so you can build your self-worth in Christ and you can overcome and live free. Now, I want to encourage you, if you're not signed up for one of our small groups, we're calling them Live Free Small Groups, and they're using the workbook Search for Significance, and that workbook deals with the four lies and how to overcome. So I encourage you, come on, if you want to live free, get in a small group. I saw one small group was about filling up. If we have to make another small group, we'll make another small group. We'll get some leaders. I'll jump in on board. I'm not on board yet as far as teaching. I was going to help the leaders teach, but we'll get you into a small group if you want to go through that live free. And again, that's our mission here. That's our mission at Faith Life Church, to help you live free. And I am praying for you. I'm in the game. Come on. I'm all in when it comes to helping you live free in every area of your life. That's what God has called us to do. That's our mission. Now, we also learned if you're going to live free, you got to continue to grow in your understanding of forgiveness. Forgiveness is the foundation of our freedom. In other words, the reason we can live free is because God forgave us in Christ. We are forgiven of our sins. And because we're forgiven, we're delivered from the weight, the guilt, the condemnation, the destruction, the power of sin. That's why we're free. We are forgiven, but you have to live in the light of that forgiveness and remember that it is literally your foundation of freedom. In fact, we say this, forgiveness equals freedom. Now, today, I want to kind of take off of what we learned. Oh, no, I can't forget this one. Hold on, I got to back up just a minute. Those people that are forgiven, they forgive. If you're going to live free, you have to forgive others. The Bible is clear on that. Because we have been forgiven, because God released us of our sins, if somebody sins against us, if they offend us, what do? We forgive. Not because we feel like it, not because they deserve it, but we do it because we're forgiven and because we want to live free. Now, last week we dealt with religion and relationship. And we learned last week that religious rules will tie us up and will keep us bound. And sometimes if we get into religious rules, we can get so busy doing all the rules that we're no longer free, that we become ruled by the rules. And we've got to remember to base our relationship with God on what Christ did and not on what we've done. And we said, when it comes to religion or relationship, go with relationship. And the way to escape the bondage of religious rules, or that the bondage that religious rules can bring on us, is to keep our faith in God's love and to build that relationship with Him through Christ. But I want to kind of continue along those same lines today, but I want to go to the other side of the coin. How many of you know, if you look at any coin, it has two sides, a quarter, a nickel, a dime, a penny, and you could look on the quarter and you could say, oh, that a quarter is an eagle. But how many know there's another side? Same coin, but there's another side. Well, there's another side to the rules. Well, we certainly learned we don't want to be ruled by the rules. What about the rules? Do the rules have a place in our life? Are they somehow affected to our freedom? And so I want to get into that today. And I want to take you back, though, to the scripture that we used last week. And this was Paul writing to the Galatians about religion and relationship. In Galatians 5, he says this, Galatians 5:1. So Christ has truly set us free. Now make sure that you stay free and don't get tied up again in slavery to the law. let me just put this out there. Well, we are not supposed to base our relationship with God on the rules. And listen, can I also just add this? There are some religious rules that need to be ruled out. Yeah. Yes. I mean, just rule them out. They are not profitable at all. They are just a religious rule. Well, we're not supposed to get tied up in the rules. Are there rules that we need in our life so we can live free? Let me give you a practical example and really just kind of use some common sense here. Can I say this about the Bible? The Bible is very practical. In fact, we could even go this far and say the Bible is very simple. It's simple truths. They're not complex. Now, while they're simple truths, they're not always easy. Come on, how many know simplicity can sometimes be very challenging? Because the world we live in is so complex, and the flesh wants to get us in all the complexity and get us tied up, religious rules. But the Bible's very simple, and there's some common sense. Yes, the Bible is teaching us to live a simple life and to, first of all, base our relationship with God on what Christ has done and not to get tied up with the rules. But common sense would tell you we need some rules. Look at society, a very practical example. In society, we have rules. And if you break those rules, you could be incarcerated. How many know, if you're incarcerated, you're not free. And why are you not free? Because you broke a rule. So could it be that rules do play a role in our freedom? They should not be the basis upon which we determine whether or not we're free. But all of us can attest to the fact that when we've broken a rule, we've lost freedom. We no longer could enjoy our life, or damage occurred. I'm going to give you a practical example of just losing your freedom by breaking the rules. Can you give me my little sign there? I got a little sign here, but I don't want to put my sign on yet, so don't turn it around. But I'm going to give you an example of breaking the rules, and this is a story of my first grade year. I broke the rules, one particular rule. But we were in line, lined up to go to the restroom, and actually I went to an older elementary school that they'd really taken some army barracks and turned them into a school. So even in the younger classes, we didn't have restrooms in our classroom, so we always had to line up and go to the restroom. And so, you know, I was a first grade teacher, so I know what it's like to be a teacher and to gather all these little kids up and get them in line and keep them straight. And so we're lining up to go to the restroom. Of course, we have covered walkways, but it's raining. And so the teacher says to all these little first graders, do not stick your hand out in the rain. Well, you know, everybody's lining up, and I think I was one of the first ones to get lined up. So I'm sitting there, and how many of you know when somebody tells you not to do something, and you're 6 years old, and you see the rain, you just do it. So who stuck their, the only one in the classroom who stuck their hand in the rain? Me. Broke the rule. Stuck my hand out in the rain, and so the teacher caught me. She must have been really frustrated that day. It must have been a bad day for her, because you're going to see what happened. So the first thing she made me do, she made me go back to the classroom and get my handwriting paper that I had just worked so hard. You know, you're just learning to write, and you have to stay in the lines. And I had this perfect paper. Handwriting was not necessarily my specialty, but I had done my handwriting. She made me go get my handwriting, bring it back out, and hold it in the rain. So then get, yeah, I know. I wish I would have been there. You could have saved me. I'm going to get some real empathy in a minute. That's not all she did. So then I had to go back. Once it was all wet, she made me go back to the classroom, and she made me redo my handwriting. And then in our classroom, she had a sign. And if you were misbehaving, you had to wear this sign. And here was the sign. If this is true, true. Right, Lord? You're my witness. He was there. I had to wear this sign. Baby. So she put this sign on me, baby. Now listen, I'm okay. I made it through first grade. I know this would not be allowed today in today's school. And thank God it wouldn't. But she made me wear this sign. Said, baby. So, of course, you know, you're humiliated in front of all your little other sixth grade friend. I mean, that's not sixth grade, six-year-old friends. And then, but that was not the worst. I had to wear this all day. So when we went out and we lined up, then all the other kids in the school. How many of you know I was not enjoying life that day? I was not free. And while I'm not saying that everything the teacher did that day was right, I could have avoided all of that. Are you with me? If I just wouldn't have broken the rule. Listen, you can get mad at the devil. You can think he's not fair. But can I tell you this? When you break a rule, he will take you further than you ever wanted to go. He will make you stay longer than you ever wanted to stay. And he will make you pay more than you ever wanted to pay. Baby. But that's not even the worst part. Guys, I haven't even gotten to the worst part yet. I know. No, aren't you glad I turned out as good as I did? It's a miracle. Because here's the worst part. I was the baby in our family, and once I started school full-time, my mom decided she would work at our school. And she was a lunchroom lady. So then I knew that I was going to have to go to lunch with my baby sign on and my mom was going to see my baby sign. And then this baby, her baby, was going to get in more trouble. I mean, talk about a loss of freedom. I felt like I'd been incarcerated. Anxiety, fear. I was not enjoying the playground when we went out to play before lunch because all I could think about was the consequence and what was about to happen when my mother saw the baby sign. Thank God I got delivered. Now listen, can we just all agree? Well, really, I don't know who that. You know what? The truth is, I can't even remember that teacher's name. It's probably good because I might look her up. No, I wouldn't. But now listen, do you get my point here about breaking the rules? You lose your freedom. So where do the rules fit in? We know we are not to be rule-based. We know that we are not to be ruled by the rules. But the Bible does teach us that there is a place for the rules. But we got to get things in order. And sometimes things are out of order in our life. So what is the order? What is the role of the rules? Well, we read Galatians 5:1. I want to go down just a couple of verses, and let's go down to Galatians 5, and let's begin reading with verse 13, and we're going to see what God has to say about the rules. Galatians 5:13, Paul writes here, and he says, "For you have been called to live in freedom, my brothers and sisters, but don't use your freedom to satisfy your sinful nature. Instead, use your freedom to serve one another in love. For the whole law can be summed up in this one command. Love your neighbor as yourself. But if you are always biting and devouring one another, watch out. Beware of destroying one another." What does he say now? He first tells us, we just read it in chapter 5 verse 1, that don't get wrapped up in the rules. Don't be a slavery to the law. Christ has set you free. And then he tells us here, but whoa, whoa, he said, hold on. Now, don't use your freedom to be selfish. Just because you're free in Christ and you don't have to obey the rules to have a relationship with God, don't use that freedom to break the rules. Because when you break the rules, you hurt other people. You don't just hurt yourself. You hurt other people. And really what he's teaching us in this passage is love rules. You want to rule in your life? Then let love rule. And really, if we let love rule, then all the other rules will be obeyed, because they'll be obeyed out of love. In fact, think about the Ten Commandments. In fact, I just want to read you now. This is kind of a simplified version of the Ten Commandments, but you remember the Ten Commandments. You've seen Charlton Heston get them on the, no, Moses get them. Can you put up the, I'm just going to start reading the Ten Commandments. One, put God first. Two, worship God only, no idols. Now listen, if you don't think we have idols today. Three, use God's name with respect. Four, there's 10 of them. Remember God's Sabbath. Number five, do not commit murder. Six, respect your parents. Can we read that one again? Right. Respect your parents. Number seven, be faithful in marriage. Number eight, 9, and 10, do not steal. Do not lie. Do not want what others have. Greed, jealousy. We ought to celebrate it when somebody else is blessed. Not be jealous, not be greedy. Well, I wish I had that. I deserve that. You know what? Can we think about these Ten Commandments? Can we think about how if love rules our life? I'm still talking about living free. But if we live by the law of love, then we will obey the Ten Commandments. If we love God, we'll put Him first. If we love God, we won't put other idols ahead of Him. We won't worship other things other than Him. If we love our spouse, we won't commit adultery. We'll be faithful in marriage. If we love people around us, we won't lie to them. We won't steal from them. And we certainly wouldn't murder them. Love. That's what the Bible teaches us. Love fulfills all the commandments. Wow. Love rules. You want to live free? Then let love rule your life. Really, we could say this. You know, the Ten Commandments are basically, I could say this, they're basic human behavior. You're not a saint if you do the Ten Commandments. Just because you don't steal from me, just because you don't lie, that's just basic human decency 101. God went way beyond that and showed us real love when He sacrificed for people who didn't even love Him and may never love Him. But come on, the commandments, don't steal, don't lie, don't worship another God, basic. But how do we do all those commands? Love, let love rule. And really what Paul said here, when he actually said, all the law is summed up in this commandment. He was actually quoting Jesus. So let's go back to the words of Jesus. It's found in Matthew chapter 22, and this is the number one command. Matthew 22, starting with verse 36, Jesus is talking to a religious ruler here. And the religious ruler actually asks him a question. Teacher, which is the most important commandment in the law of Moses? Jesus replied, you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment, and the second is equally important. Love your neighbor as yourself. The entire law and all the demands of the prophet are based on these two commandments. Wow. Religion has a ton of rules. Jesus lived in a society that was so religious, and they had taken the laws of Moses and some of the ceremonial laws that God had given them. And I think there was around, I think it was around 600, either 400 or 600 laws from the Old Testament. And they had turned them into thousands. One source said they had turned them into up to 25,000 laws. Yikes. You see, religion multiplies laws. You can never, never do enough. But Jesus said here, listen, there is really one command that has two parts. And He said, it's love God, love others. We could say this, all the rules are summed up in love God, love others. And if you do that, you will obey all the rules. Jesus points us back to relationship. Relationships are built on love. And can I say this? Relationship is so much more rewarding than religion. Man, build good relationships. Come on, can I say it this way? Let me just make sure you understand the importance of relationships. When relationships aren't going bad, I mean, when relationships aren't going good, they're going bad. How well is your life? Come on, not good. Come on, build relationships. And sometimes we kill relationships by doing the rules without love. Love needs to rule. The reason why we do things is because we love somebody. Now listen to this. This is important. What Jesus did that day in a very religious society. You ready? Jesus downsized the rules. Yeah. Right there. Religion supersizes the rules. Remember when it was not too long ago, it became a very common thing at the fast food drives up, they would say, would you like to supersize that order? How many times does the devil come to us and try to get us to supersize the rules? Well, did you see what that person did? I would never do that. You better not say that. What are you supposed to do? You're supposed to love them. Now, I'm not talking about this icky love or this, what do they call it, sloppy agape. Now, agape is a word in the Bible used for love. I'm not talking about where you just accept anything. No, you don't accept anything, but you accept everyone. And you love them. And you love them enough to speak the truth to them. You love them enough to hold a standard. But you love them. You do it out of love. You don't do it out of judgment. You love your wife. You love your husband. You know what? You don't commit adultery out of that love. Not because you have this piece of paper that says you can't. You love them enough not to. Jesus downsized the rules. If you want to live free, keep it simple. And live in the light of love. Let love rule. When love rules, it's easy to keep all the other rules. And the truth is, when love rules, then we can rule in life. We can prosper, get ahead, live free. We can enjoy life. I want to give you three scriptures right now and just kind of show you the power of letting love rule. And I'm going to read these three passages. They're pretty short. And then I'm going to speak to each one of them. I'm going to bring out four different truths. But here's the first one, John 14:15. If you love me, obey my commandments. That's Jesus talking. 1 John 4:16. We know how much God loves us and we have put our trust in his love. 1 John 4:19. We love because he first loved us. Now, let's go back to that first one. If you love me, obey my commandments. The first thing we got to understand is Jesus does make it clear that there are commands that you are supposed to obey. Come on, number one. There are commands to you obey. Jesus makes it clear that there are commands we should obey. Now, out of that same passage, if you love me, you'll obey me. Jesus also makes it clear that, or let me just put it this way. Jesus did not say, can you put up number two? Jesus didn't say, I'll love you if. He just said, if you love me, you will obey my commandments. So if you're having a hard time with his commandments, listen, don't try to get more discipline. Say, wow, have I fallen out of love? Somewhere, God, I've lost my love for you. And the next one is, here's what you got to do. Jesus also, number four, in the next scripture, we learn this, or number three, rather. Jesus also teaches us to trust in his love. He said, you've known my love. Now you got to put your trust in it. You got to trust that God loves you. You see, if you trust that God loves you, then you know anything he would command you to do would be good for you. You need to get that. If you believe that God loves you, then he must have your best interest at heart. And the reason why he's saying not to do something or to do something is because it's going to be best for you. Father knows best. Wow. But here's the other truth we learn out of this passage, and it's the last truth where he says, we love because he first loved us. Jesus loves us before he asks us to obey. Come on. Yeah. Parents, you need to understand this. We're responsible to love our kids first. Yeah. You cannot have rules without relationship. Rules without relationship create rebellion. Yes. Just do it because I said to do it, that's why. Now, we've all said that probably a time or two, but you better love them. You better be doing what you're doing. You better be asking them to behave a certain way because it's best for them, not because it's going to look good for you.
Amen. That's good.
Amen.
Yep. You know, we've all been in that place as a parent where our child misbehaved. In fact, I'm going to tell on my sister, and not really telling her, but her little girl. And now she's a grown, beautiful woman, loves God. But she was about 3 years old, and we were over at her house and at my sister's house and my brother-in-law, Pastor Ken and Gail, and we were having a little time with ladies, a little Bible study. And so her three-year-old had come out to sit with us because we'd finally got out some treats at the end of the Bible study, and there was this juice, and so like lemonade. I think it was some kind of like lemonade. Anyway, we had poured all the lemonade, and Missy was just three or four, and so she's drinking her lemonade, and she's like, ugh. And she reaches over, gets on her knees in the chair, and spits it back in the pitcher. I mean, you know, as a parent, you can go, oh no, that's embarrassing. But come on, then you can't discipline them because of what it looks like on you. We got to love them. We got to do things out of love, not out of anger. God didn't ask us to obey him before he fully expressed his love to us in sending Christ. Listen, relationships are built on trust and love. He loved us first, and he loved us first so that then we could trust in that love. And then his love, knowing that he loved us, would then empower us to obey. Wow. You see, love empowers us to obey. Religion demands we obey to prove our love. Amen. Let me close today. I want to close today by going back to Galatians again. I want to read Galatians 5:6. We kind of read Galatians 1, then we went down to Galatians 5:13, Galatians 5:1, then we went down to Galatians 5:13. Let's just go right smack in the middle here, and I want to wind this up today. Love wins. Galatians 5:6, Paul said this, "For when we place our faith in Christ Jesus, there is no benefit in being circumcised or being uncircumcised. What is important is faith expressing itself in love." You know, now he teaches us in this passage once again that love rules, but he's dealing here with circumcision and uncircumcision. And in that day, to that group of people, one of the main rules of the law was that if you were going to be a part of Israel and be a good Jew, you got circumcised. And Paul here, he is breaking all the rules, and he's saying, listen, what matters is not whether or not you're circumcised. What really matters is faith expressing itself in love. In other words, he's saying, the way that I know that you really know Jesus is you put your faith in him. And when you have faith in his love, then all of a sudden you begin to express that love in your life. You express that you love God by your actions. And people can see they love God. The way they behave, the way they act. Let me read you this out of the Message Bible, and then I got to stop. Galatians 5:6, the Message Bible says, "For in Christ, neither our most conscientious religion nor disregard of religion amounts to anything. What matters is something far more interior, faith expressed in rules." I'm reading my next point. Can you tell I'm in a hurry to close, trying to close on time? What really matters is faith expressed in love. Come on, what he is saying is rules don't matter. Come on, quit making the rules matter so much. Now, they do matter, but they're not more important than love.
Yeah.
They're not more important than loving people. They matter. They have their place. But here's the thing. When we put our faith in love. Now, come on. That's what faith is. We put our faith in God. Why? Why did you ever put your faith in God to begin with? Because for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. The very basis of your faith in God is love. And when we allow love to rule, then obedience, now listen to me, obedience is the outflow of love. Wow. So what have we learned? We've learned this. If we're going to live free, we've got to let love rule. Because when love rules, man, the relationship we have with God will be strong and vibrant, and the relationship we have with others will be strong and vibrant. We will have put a stop to the enemy's work. Come on, the highest life there is in the kingdom of God is a life that's lived in love. Amen? You're ready to live free? Did you get enough in this series to live free? I believe that you did. Listen, let me just also encourage you. I'm starting a new series that will run right up to Easter. We have 4 Sundays before Easter. And so next week, I'm starting a series entitled Ready, Set, Grow. And I'm not only going to deal with our growing individually and how we grow, but also us growing as a church. But right now, let's bow our heads as we close out this service today. Lord Jesus, I just want to thank you for the opportunity that we've had today, the opportunity to be together, and the opportunity to